Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Rowdy Maglite, and welcome back to Rowdy Maglite Racing Tonight, where we cover ARCA racing every Monday night. Race number 13 was at Pocono Raceway. It was a Mod Space 150, and tonight we're lucky enough again to have the winner and the driver for Cunningham Motorsports, number 77 Big Time Ford, Chase Briska. We're going to bring Chase in. How we doing tonight, Chase?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations again, Chase. You know, when we got this thing all started and going, I never dreamed I'd have you on four times already this early in the season with 13 down. But, you know, to start with, Chase, I hadn't mentioned your crew chief. I'd like to give a big shout-out to Chad Bryant and your crew, because I've never seen a driver ever change tires and gas the car up, and they're half the story, and congratulations to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've been on fire this season. That's really the biggest reason we've been having the success we've had. We have great race cars and great people, and, you know, they go hand in hand, that's for sure.
Well, you've led over so far, I think we've come up with a stats that you've led over 600 laps this year, and that's a lot of that's to your crew chief and your crew.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, like I was just saying, you know, it all has to come together, and luckily, you know, and we're blessed enough to be with a great team and great cars and great setups. So without that, you know, you're only as good as the race car you're in, so definitely blessed to be with them. That's without a doubt.
You sure are, Chase, and you know, I admire you to speak out who your savior is, my sir, and not a lot of people willing to do that today in the times we live in, but we're going to give all glory to him for you being where you're at now. Chase, do you have any idea how many laps you actually led at Pocono?
Well, I'm not sure. I think it was all but 9 laps, so I think the race was 60 laps, so probably 51 if I had to guess.
I just had finished watching it again, and actually you didn't win the pole, but you did lead the first lap. So Kyle just kind of snuck up there and got that pole from you.
Yeah, it was a little unfortunate in qualifying. We just messed up a little bit as a driver. I just totally missed it and gave up the pole. But overall, yeah, we ended up leading the first lap, so we only – gave up 5 points, but you never know that 5 points we might need at the end of the year. So, you know, if we look back, that was definitely one we kind of gave away. So we're just going to the next one, see if we can get it there.
Chase, after the first 2 practices, or after your first practice, did you realize you had a car to compete that could actually probably win the race?
Yeah, pretty much. Really, honestly, after the first lap around there, I think we went to the second on the speed charts after our first lap, and we even had to pass 2 or 3 cars on that lap. So I knew we were going to be in really good shape, and you know, we just had to stay focused and execute all day long, and we were going to be tough to beat. So definitely knew pretty early that we were going to be tough. Just you never know where you're going to stack up with everybody. You never know where people are at on tires compared to you. But we unloaded on 26 lap scuffs, so I knew. When we went that quick on 26-lap old tires, I knew we were going to be pretty tough to beat.
Well, when you started back on the, what they thought the green flag back, but I think with 16, 17 laps to go, you could at that point you could feel every little shake and vibration and hesitation. Every time you got one, it just kind of a gut-wrenching feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, luckily, you know, we don't have too many of those, but at those speeds, there's always a little bit of vibration just because you're going so fast. But yeah, you know, definitely as the race winds down, you're becoming more and more aware of that kind of stuff, and you know, hoping and praying nothing does happen, and you know, it held all together and had no issues, which is always good.
Hey Chase, don't mind, I'm gonna bring Mark in here, and I know Mark's got a question too for you. Hey Mark, you're on with Chase.
Hey Rowdy. Hey Chase, how are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, not too bad.
Great, thank you.
Well, Chase, you and Cunningham Motorsports are in quite the role lately. You guys came across something that the other teams are looking for, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've been really good lately, and honestly, we've been good all year long, just haven't been able to execute when it counts, and I think that's really the main difference just on pit road here. The past four races, we've been able to put it all together and not had any issues, and when we do that, we're going to be tough to beat.
Well, I think you're going to be tough to beat regardless. The team seems to be getting stronger and stronger each race you go to, and I'll be in Berlin, so I'll be looking forward to seeing what you can do on that tough little track. It's hard to get around.
Yeah, it is. Been watching a lot of videos. It's flat and definitely smaller than I think anywhere we go, so it's going to be a challenge, but hopefully we'll have a good setup there and go up there and see what we can do.
Well, looking forward to seeing you guys there, and if I get a chance, I'll definitely stop by and say hello, and I have in the past, but you're a busy fellow, and if the opportunity arises, I'll definitely come by and see you, Chase.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, man.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, you're welcome,
well,
Rowdy.
Chase, you know, I know you push for time, and you know, I'm just glad you come in and come on a few minutes. You have a little show that you kind of do on Tuesday mornings. Isn't that right, the Back Porch Barbershop?
It's not actually the Back Porch Barbershop. It's the Briscoe Breakdown, and we just actually end up doing it at the Back Porch Barbershop when I'm there in Mitchell, Indiana, and Toby Wedgwood at Wedgwood Productions is who takes care of all that, and we normally try to do it about every three races and kind of keep everybody up to date on what's going on and just kind of give them a breakdown of how the races go. So we should be doing one of those pretty soon. I'll be back in Mitchell next week, I think, so we'll probably end up doing one and releasing it next week.
Well, you know, I told Toby that all you had to do was just kick that door down. You kept shaking and rattling it. Man, did you kick it down. You tore it off the hinge, brother.
Yeah, we're starting to open that door. Just got to keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully we can get some more wins.
So with what you see at Berlin, that's going to be a pretty tough race with it being short, smaller track and flat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to be a tough place. It's, you know, it's small, and, you know, it's really challenging just because we can't really put all the power down. So we just got to focus all day long on trying to keep some forward drive in it, and at the end of the day, we'll see what happens.
Well, Chase, if you'd like to go ahead and give a big shout-out to your sponsors and how to reach you on social media.
Yeah, just got to thank, you know, Bruce Cunningham and Kerry Scherer for the opportunity and, you know, big time for coming on board this season. And obviously, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, he opened all these doors. And thanks to Michelle Thompson for setting this up, as always. And so thanks for all the fans for tuning in and listening. And you can follow me on Twitter at ChaseBriscoe5 and as well as on Facebook at Chase Briscoe Racing.
Well, once again, I'm going to tell Michelle thanks a lot. And congratulations in tying your, I think, what, Parker Kligerman and you both have a four in a row with Cunningham Motorsports. That says a whole lot for Cunningham Motorsports right there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a heck of an organization. That's without a doubt.
Well, good luck in breaking that record, Chase. And
Thank you, I appreciate it.
You know, everybody, this is going to be on American Network, Sports Network, so you'll be able to watch, see if Chase gets five in a row. Chase, good luck, sir, and thanks for giving us all a few minutes of your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Mark?
Yeah, Rowdy?
How'd your weekend go, sir?
Oh, we had it was a quiet weekend, basically. I only had one race this weekend. We went and saw the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars with a couple of good friends of mine, and we had good weather and good racing and good friends, and like I told you in email, it was a really fun night. We had a good time, and glad we were able all to get together and enjoy it.
Well, you had an extra partner this time, didn't you say? You had one that hadn't been with you in a while.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He gets to win a race occasionally, and he likes the wing sprint cars, and the World of Outlaws are about the best there is, so they were close by. He had a free evening, and we were able to get him there, and we just had a good time. He was really amazed at seeing these cars on dirt and what they do. It was fun.
did y'all go home dusty? I mean, was it? Do y'all sit close to the track, or do y'all sit up higher off the track?
Well, right along the back stretch wall. Yes, I needed to take a shower when I got home, and would have not allowed me in bed the way I came home. I was pretty dusty and dirty.
That was the question: was how dirty was you when you got home?
Well, you know, we wear eye protection, and that's the important thing at dirt races. You have to protect your eyes, especially being that close as we were. Things can come, you know, projectiles can come through the air, but, yeah, it keeps the dust out of your eyes. You can see what's going on. Sometimes we get back from a dirt race, and we look like we've been working in a coal mine all day.
Well, the first NASCAR race that I attended, that's kind of what we was talking about on one of our shows. Our face had the black tar all over them. I looked at one of the guys that's with me and thought, man, your face is filthy because you haven't looked at yours yet, have you? And sure enough. And, you know, that's part of the experience, you know, is being down and being – feel the breeze off the car, the dust, the asphalt, the rubber. That's all part of the experience of going to a race.
Use all your senses, the smell sense, the hearing sense, the visual sense. They're all on sensory overload when you're at a race, I think. At least mine are. It gets everything going. Your adrenaline really gets pumped when you're at a race. There's just not another feeling like it, Rowdy.
Well, you know, Mark, we're kind of living in a world that we hadn't lived in to be able to watch ARCA virtually every race on TV. That has been absolutely fantastic this year.
Well, if I wasn't going to race myself on Saturday evening, I would be watching it on TV like I know you will be. I will definitely be DVRing it so I can watch it when I get home. I won't be able to go to bed until I'll fast forward a little bit, but I'll pretty much watch the whole race before I can go to sleep.
Well, you know, actually, it sure helps me. You know, before we have a show, I usually sit down and rewatch it again after I've done watched it probably three times before, and you pretty much got it fresh on your mind, but I had talked to somebody about Berlin, and they didn't talk about it being so flat. I didn't realize it was a flat track.
It's also odd-shaped little track. The corners are both different. You enter the corners and exit the corners differently on each end. So you have to get a balance between which corner you want, you know, to be the best off of. So it can be a tough little racetrack to get adjusted to.
Well, we've got that. That's going to be Saturday, which is going to be on the 6th of August, and they have the start time at 8:30 Eastern Daylight Savings Time. So, and that's going to be covered by American Sports Network. So there we go again. We're still covered and got somebody. We've had Fox 1, Fox 2, and then American Sports Network, which I think American Sports Network has done an absolutely wonderful job.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, and the fact that it's getting covered so well, it could be a lot worse. I think the coverage is very well done. The announcers are good. They push the series, and they don't really have to. The racing kind of pushes itself.
The races have been fast, too. You know, we had four cautions in this race, and one of them was just for a window flight coming off that somebody didn't properly attach and come loose. But besides that, I mean, it was pretty clean race. You know, Mark, people are going home with their race cars all in one piece now, and that says a lot.
Yeah, it was a tougher day at Pocono. The bigger tracks seem to have a little more they'll have fewer cars finishing just for the fact that it's tough to race on those super speedways and keep your car together and these guys just do a remarkable job of doing it.
Well, our points, the only difference in the points, really, we got Chase Briscoe is leading in the points. Josh Williams, I think Josh actually went out with a DNF. You know, he had rear-end problems. And got her back out there and still had more trouble when he come back out. So Chase's lead kind of stretched out a little farther. And then we got in third, Matt Karowski, Tim Hesser in fourth, Kyle Weatherman in fifth place, and Thomas Prater hanging in there at sixth.
Oh, you know what? I always keep an eye on Thomas. Thomas is kind of one of those guys you just keep pulling for. You just wish you'd get one more position, just one more position.
Well, you know, it's all in timing, like everything we do in life. He could actually, probably come up and be fifth in points. He's sixth now and holding steady at sixth in the points. It's a lot easier getting sponsors with more TV time. I would say for the 2017 year, when you're trying to find sponsors to go out and hook up with, you can look back at this year with all the different winners and all the TV coverage. It's going to be a little easier than it has in the past.
Well, you just have so many positives and so few negatives to go forward with, Rowdy. You have what a sponsor is looking for, and if ARCA wanted to speed up their races or whatever, I'm not sure that's the case. I think the drivers themselves did that. But, yes, it was a quick race. It was well run. I think it's a great sponsorship opportunity for a nice niche market. You couldn't do any better than with ARCA.
You're exactly right, Mark. You're exactly right. At the bottom of the hour, we got Chris Bailey Jr. coming on, and Chris is going to be at Berlin. I believe he's driving the number 11 DK Lock Ford. But he's going to tell us what he's got in store for the Berlin track.
Is Chris affiliated with the Prater Racing team, or are they on their own team sponsorship?
I think so. Mark will, when he comes on, we'll ask him about that also.
Okay.
But I believe Chris was driving the 23 car DK Lock, which is it was a Chevrolet, and it was affiliated with Brent Holmes.
Uh-huh.
So this time, I believe in this race, he's going to be with Bobby Hillian, but we'll let him tell us what he's got going on. But go ahead.
Well, like I shouted at you earlier, I believe we talked with Chris at IRP for a brief moment after driver introductions. My friend, his ears perked up. Jeff heard Pennsylvania in the Pittsburgh area, and the two of them chatted for quite a while afterwards. So, yeah, they were a couple of hometown boys getting back together. It was fun to see.
Well, he's another one of those late model drivers that you've probably seen at Lake Erie or around in that area, Mark.
I've read and heard about him. I've not personally probably seen him yet, but I have a feeling I will eventually.
Chris is another one of those great people that the reason we hang with ARCA. I've met Chris, I think, 3 years ago, and just a really fine young man.
Well, I think auto racing in general is a pretty great sport, but ARCA just, if you go to an ARCA event, they take it to another level. They're really fan-friendly, and they've been getting good crowds. Their crowds have been increasing as the season's gone on. We'll see what happens with them in the future.
Well, you know, Mark, when they go and they hook up with NASCAR at Pocono or Michigan, Talladega, Daytona, with those big stadiums, racing stadiums, you kind of get lost in there. But when they get down to like Salem and Berlin, Winchester, you can kind of gauge the crowds, and from what I've seen, ARCA's crowd seems to be picking up a little bit.
I would say that the races I've attended, I was at, Nashville was very well attended, and you and I both were there, and we saw that. Madison was well attended. Winchester was. IRP is deceptive because the facility is so large, but they had a pretty good crowd there, too. I bet they have a good crowd at Berlin, and I'll be part of it.
Well, Mark, you know, with Menards giving, are they giving $5 or $10 off if you go and get your little discount from them? I mean, that every little bit helps.
It does, Rowdy. I'm just outside that market area where they would be offering that, so I would have to drive a little bit. But what is it, $15, $10, $15 to get into a 200-lap race plus a 40-lap local race in an evening, and you're going to be home fairly early? And with the kids, that's what you have to do. You can't be dragging them to long-distance races and expect them to sit still for 4 hours. It just doesn't work.
No, it don't. And it's that actually, Mark, is playing in with the new generation of people. Their attention span's not that long. And the ARCA really fits in pretty good. It's a fairly quick race. And it doesn't drag on for hours.
No, it doesn't. And I'd say the majority of the late model races I go to are 100 laps. With the exception of a few others that go longer distance, and that's fun because they need to do that also. And I'll be at one tomorrow night, one of my famous midweek races that we have to do something about for you Southern boys.
I'm telling you, what is that, the Dixieland 250? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you have a good memory, Rowdy. Yours is better than mine, I think.
That's the ARCA Midwest Tour?
Yes, Rowdy. It's one of their short track arms that they help sponsor and officiate and give whatever assistance needed in marketing, business-wise. It's been a really great partnership between the two series that they've been affiliated with ARCA.
Now, Mark, how long of a drive, how far a drive is that for you?
This is about a 3.5-hour drive or so. If I go straight through, I'm stopping by and visiting some friends on the way up tomorrow morning. And I'll be there about noon or so, and I'll be spending the day. I'll see qualifying and practice and two races. They're running two series tomorrow night. The Big 8 Late Model Series is running a 38-lap race, so I'll get my money's worth tomorrow evening.
Well, a 3.5-hour drive, not 3 hour, 3.5-hour drive is not a bad drive for a race, a good race.
Oh, it's just outside Appleton, Wisconsin. The only problem tomorrow is getting through Chicago and Milwaukee. Tomorrow night coming through Milwaukee and Chicago is no problem. Traffic won't be there. But, yeah, once I'm north of the cities, it's a pretty nice drive.
I was kind of studying on that Southern Illinois dirt track. I'm working on it, Mark. I'm working on it. It's what happens in the next 2 weeks or a week and a half really going to determine if that's possible or not. But I noticed I pulled it up on the TomTom, and it looked like there was about 14 different construction sites scattered from up through there. So it's going to be probably a long, it says 8.5 hours, but that's with no construction. Of course, when they show you the construction, that don't mean it's really happening.
There's two driving seasons, and especially up north, we have the winter driving season, and then we have the construction driving season. And the construction driving season is long, very long.
Well, Mark, I got Chris on here. Let's bring Chris on and
okay, Rowdy.
See how he's doing this evening. Hey, Chris, you're on with Rowdy and Mark here. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you guys?
Doing great, Chris.
Good.
So, Chris, how was your little run around Pocono? This was your second race at Pocono. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've done a couple starting parts for Kimmel. I think we did two for him. So we've got a couple laps in there. And then my first race with the Max Force Racing was a starting park earlier in the year, back in June at Pocono. So this is my first actual full race, but we had a couple laps in there before today, or this last weekend.
Chris, kind of you got started in, what, go-karts and went on to Bandoleros and Legend cars?
Yeah, I started go-karts when I was 9. Did them for a couple years. I moved up to the Bandolero cars in 2002. I ran them for 3 years. I won the national championship in 04. So at that point, we moved up to Legend cars. Ran some late model races here, short track stuff. I moved up to the ARCA trucks in 2010. We actually won the championship my rookie year there. We ran them for a couple races, and then now we're up in the big car stuff.
So now that ARCA truck, now they went from a 6-cylinder to a V8. Is that correct? 8-cylinders?
Yeah, our truck actually still has a 6-cylinder in it. We've been running a couple races here. We did a couple last year. We haven't done any this year yet. Just don't really have the money to put the V8 in there, but right now it's kind of like the transition period. You have some guys running the V6s and some running the V8s, so.
Hey, Mark, you got a question for Chris there? Cause you've been knowing the late models and up in that area.
Yeah, Chris, which track? Are you in the Pittsburgh area, are you not?
Yes, sir.
I think you talked with my friend Jeff at IRP for quite a bit after driver introductions. He's another Pittsburgh native, and whenever we're at a track and he hears about a Pittsburgh area driver, his ears perk up, and he ends up finding him and chatting with him quite a while.
Yeah, I met a gentleman after a driver intro to Indy. He's actually from the town that touches mine. I live in South Park, which is a real tiny suburb of Pittsburgh. And
okay.
He's actually from Bethel Park, which is less than 5 minutes from me, so it's pretty cool.
It's always fun to meet somebody from your hometown area, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we travel all over the country, and you'd be surprised how many people, you know, come up to me and say, well, you're from Pittsburgh area. I live in whatever city, and it ends up only being 10, 15 minutes from here, so it's pretty neat.
But between the Pirates, the Steelers, and the Penguins, and the University, yeah, you guys get a lot of advertisement around this world.
Yeah, that's for sure. We got a good group of teams up here. Pittsburgh fans are, I don't know if they're good or bad, but they're everywhere. Everywhere we go.
Now you're
going
to be able to do any late mile racing at all now, or do you use that kind of on the back burner for you?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to be able to do any late-mile racing, or is that kind of on the back burner for you right now?
That's kind of on the back burner. We're really trying to concentrate on the ARCA car stuff. Even the ARCA truck stuff we kind of put on the back burner for right now. Me and my parents, kind of made an agreement that anytime you can go to the track and get into an ARCA Racing Series car, it's a pretty big deal. Especially at tracks like the Poconos and the Michigans. So even if we can just go there and even just turn a couple laps in the race, you still get the whole practice session and get to qualify. That's mainly our main focus right now. We haven't done any truck racing yet this year. Exactly, yeah. I mean, we're getting TV time, and we're at the track with the big guys. You know, we were in the ARCA truck, and we made a name for ourselves. Rookie year, we won the championship. So,
win a championship anywhere, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been fortunate. I think I've won 19 championships since we started. And we have a couple big ones. We got the national championship in Bandoleros, and then ARCA Trucks is a pretty big deal, especially in the rookie season. So that was pretty cool.
It is. It is. Not, and you only do that once. So, yeah, that's a memory you're going to have forever.
Oh, yeah, that was a huge season for us. And it was real cool. We won an asphalt oval, a half-mile oval, we went to a dirt race, we won a dirt race, and we went to Mid-Ohio and won a road course race. So and we pretty much, we did all we could do in the truck, and, you know, at this point it's just adding to your resume. So we thought it was time to try and move up slowly and see what we can do.
Well, the best of luck. I will try to make sure I see you on Saturday evening at Berlin, and have a good, safe race if I don't. But I'm going to try to make sure I see you again.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. We'll definitely be at Berlin this weekend. So.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thank you, Mark. Chris, it's a pretty good pleasure to be able to work with the Thomas group, isn't it? The Praters, Thomas, and Tommy.
Yeah, they're an awesome group of people. You know, I can't thank them enough for the opportunity they've given us, even just in the starting part deal. And we had no intentions on running that full race at Pocono. I didn't, at least. And I guess Thomas had that in the back of his mind. So it's really cool to work with those guys. You know, we have a blast going to the racetrack together. All the crew guys, myself, Tommy, Thomas, all the Prater family, we get along great, so it's a real good partnership.
If you can't get along with the Praters, you just can't get along with nobody.
Oh, yeah, they're some of the nicest in the business, for sure. Even before this year, you know, we never worked with them, but we always got to talk to them, and, you know, we're kind of in the same level. You know, it's father-son, family kind of deal, and, It's really cool to be able to work with those guys.
Well, you know, I've seen Tommy is always pretty tough on the crew during race time, and it kind of come to pass this past weekend. There was an injury of the crew member, and everybody kind of realizes now why Tommy's kind of anxious in the pit box.
Yeah, he is a... He's a tough boss sometimes, that's for sure. He lets the crew guys have it, but only for their own good. You know, he's always looking out for them. He always has their back, and he's really just trying to teach them. I mean, he's been around this stuff for a long time, and you know, he knows what it takes, and he's just trying to groom these young kids into being the best they possibly can. So he might be tough on them sometimes, but it's only just to help themselves. So.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you got to have a boss, and sometimes it's not easy being the boss.
Yeah, that's exactly it, and he does a fine job with that, that's for sure.
Well, I think he claims 19 years in racing, and nobody's been injured on his pit crew. That says a lot right there.
Oh, yeah, he definitely has everyone on the crew's back. He's all about safety. You know, he's not going to let you do anything stupid, so... He's definitely on top of that kind of stuff.
Well, Chris, I think the first time you and I met was, you had a chance to drive the 48 car for James Hilton.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, a couple years ago. Yep. Yeah, that was probably back in 2013, I think.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
That was a heck of a wheel to take over from James, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's a NASCAR legend. Anytime I see him at the track, he still comes over and talks to us. And, it's definitely a pleasure getting to know him. That's for sure.
Well, there's a lot of information that you can learn from him and Wayne Peterson. Wayne's another guy that's just an encyclopedia on what's going on in ARCA.
Oh, yeah. We've been fortunate enough to really get to know and work with the best owners in ARCA. We started our first ever starting park was with Venturini, so I got to be friends with them guys, and you know, they'll help me any way they possibly can. The Kimmels, now Bill, Will, I mean, they pretty much have the best record in ARCA if you look back at it, so we got to be really good friends with those guys. Now I actually did some work for them at their house and everything, so... Lived with them for a week. We got to be really good friends with them, and you know, I mean, they know everything. Just like the Venturinis, the Hilton, like you said, he's been around longer than anybody out there, I think. And then now with the Praters, couldn't really ask to be with a better bunch of teams that we've been with. So it's really helped us.
Yeah, it was. You hit a lot of high points right there with that group. Chris. A lot of good people in race and a lot of knowledge.
Yep, absolutely. You couldn't ask for a better group of guys.
Well, what's your game plan for Berlin?
I don't know. It was supposed to be a starting park. I have no idea what they have in mind now, you know. It was supposed to just be go out and help them guys and practice and everything and really test some different stuff for the team. You know, we don't have the funds to run full races. Pocono, like I said, that totally threw me off. We did a couple laps in practice. We actually missed qualifying. And when I got in the car, he said, you know, we'll do your typical 2-3. Maybe you can stay out there for 5-10 laps today. And I was thrilled with that. I love Pocono. It's probably my favorite track. So we got a caution about lap, it was probably like lap 10, 15, somewhere around there. And he came on the radio and said, now come in and get some fuel. We're going to stay out for a little bit. Man, that's fully expected I'm pulling in. So that was awesome right there. And then he came through probably about 15 laps to go on the radio and he said, save your stuff, save your tires. We're running to the end of this thing. So I couldn't thank him enough for that. And, you know, that opportunity, I never, ever expected that. So that was really, really awesome for sure.
So you got some real quality time at the Tricky Triangle.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I love that place. I have my aunt and uncle live about an hour from there. And so it's kind of a home game. You know, it's the only park race in Pennsylvania. The first time up there was with my first ever super speedway start. Anything over a half mile was in an ARCA car with Bill Kimmel a couple years ago. So, you know, it always has a special meaning. That's probably besides Daytona. That's the one track I really wanted to get to do a full race at. So I love it. I love the track. I love the whole triangle atmosphere, all three different turns. It's so scenic there. You know, the nature, the wildlife. You couldn't ask for a better area for a racetrack. And the racetrack they put there is top notch, definitely.
Well, the only thing about the Poconos is that weather is really iffy, isn't it? That's your home track. That's what call your home track.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the closest actual track to us, but it's the only one in Pennsylvania. So, no, I call that my home track. I'm proud to call it my home track. Like I said, it's a beautiful facility. I love that place. Weather, not so much. You know, I don't think we've ever been up there where we haven't had to fight with rain. But no races ever got canceled or anything like that. But anytime you go up there, you know you're going to have to fight the weather, it seems. So the only bad part about it, that's for sure.
Well, Chris, I know you probably got a short turnaround trying to get ready for Berlin. You want to give a shout-out to your sponsors and how that everybody can follow you on social media?
Yeah, definitely the Max Sports Racing. The Praters, like I said, can't thank them enough. Blessed to be working with those guys. My personal sponsor is just the family business. You know, C.A. Bailey Excavating, it's me and my parents. Would be nowhere without those guys, obviously. They sacrificed so much just to be at this level, so can't thank my parents enough. All the fans can check me out on Facebook. Just search Chris Bailey Jr. Twitter at Chris Bailey Jr. And just thank everybody for following us. You know, all the support means the world to us. We're going to keep trucking along here and see what happens.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you coming on. If you ever got anything you want to announce or come back on and talk about, you know how to get a hold of me. You're always welcome to come back. Look for Mark. Mark will probably see you this weekend.
Great. I can't thank you guys enough. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
I'll see you Saturday evening.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good one.
You too, sir. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Mark, you know, we can't say it enough, but we are involved in probably one of the best motorsports division that you can be involved in. I don't care what anybody says. They hadn't been racing with us yet, with ARCA.
Well, racing, I get to see a lot of different racing, a lot of different divisions, a lot of different tracks and surfaces and sizes. And ARCA, I think is probably one of the best values you can get if you want to see a good race. You can't beat ARCA right now.
You're exactly right, Mark. I'm just fortunate enough. I think I'm three races behind, or will be, but I'm going to try. Hopefully, when it's all said and done, when the 20 races are over, I'm hoping to be one ahead of what I was last year, if not two. I'm in it for the long run.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to do it then, Rowdy, and hopefully they'll have some new and exciting venues for us to look forward to next season in 2017.
Oh, we got great things going to happen in 2017, Mark. It's been a phenomenal 2016 so far, and we're coming up on race number 14 out of 20. That's not bad.
Oh. It's gone. It just seems like yesterday we were in Asheville watching race number two.
Yeah, wanting some warmer weather, and now we got it. Now I'm hearing people croaking for cold weather.
Well, you know, I'm one of those, Rowdy.
Well, it has been hot down in the south. Now, I'm going to tell you, we've had some hot days down here.
Well, it seemed to have gotten up here in the north, too, because we've been in the mid-90s with high humidity also, Rowdy. So maybe a couple more weeks of that, and then it starts cooling off a little bit for us.
Well, Mark, we had the way the top five finished out at the Mod Space 150 at Pocono was Chase Briscoe first, John West Townley finished second, Dalton Sargent finished third, Shane Lee fourth, and Kyle Weatherman field. You know, John West was coming on, too, there in the last five laps.
Yeah, John West was battling some post-concussion problems, and I'm glad to see him coming back. He seems like he's the same old John West, and, yeah, he looked really good the other day at Pocono. So did Dalton Sargent. Dalton Sargent's been looking good the past few races also. A couple of mistakes.
Yeah, he sure has.
A couple of mistakes, but he's young, he's learning, and, yeah, I look forward to seeing more of him also.
Well, you know, there's 10 good drivers that could win any race, and that says a lot. Kyle Weatherman looked good. I mean, his car is fast, but it kind of faded on him a little while, but then it looked like he was coming back.
Yeah, and you can't forget whoever's in the team car, that Cunningham in the 22 car. Whoever's in that car is always fast, too.
That's Matt Snyder, and he don't mind getting up, rubbing, and racing with you in a heartbeat. You know, Will Kendall there on them restarts, he was fast on the restarts.
Will had something figured out on those restarts, and he was getting away with what I think a lot of people thought was, you know, wrong but or illegal, but he kept doing it. He kept getting away with it. So, yeah, if you get away with it and do it, you got to.
Let's see here, Mark. I got one more call. This may be Todd.
All right.
Hey, Todd, is that you?
No, sir. This is Nick.
Hey, Nick. Dadgum, y'all got almost the same area code. How you doing, Nick?
Doing all right, man. I guess I missed Chase's call, and I'm out here outside of Cross City, Florida, stuck on the side of the road because I had a blowout on my trailer fully loaded down. So I'm just chilling right now.
Well, listen, I don't know of a better group you can sit around and be listening to.
You know, I was like, oh, well, I guess I might as well give Rowdy a call. I saw what time it was. I was like, I hope I could call in and talk to Chase on his fourth win of the season. It's amazing.
Four in a row.
Yeah, that's crazy. I of course did not get to watch the race. I had other things going on Saturday, which I'm still recovering from today. But
I wish we'd have made it, Nick. Next year you're going to have to give me heads up because there ain't nothing like a luau.
Yeah, exactly. It was nuts. We probably had 50 to 60 people over at the house this weekend, so that was pretty awesome. But, you know, one thing that was going on this weekend, and I had my eyes set on, was a reopening of a local racetrack where I live at. And the place for the last couple of years has been very in and out. Like, you know, it's different ownership and it hasn't been run right. They haven't had the cars show up. They haven't had the crowd show up. And it's just been run really poorly. And I just kind of wanted to give a shout out to the new owners and people who have been working on it. It's Citrus County Speedway and Track LLC, and I tell you what, they dumped a bunch of money into that track, and they resurfaced it, they redid the stands, they redid the concession, they redid the whole pit area. Everything's basically brand new at that place. They even got some stuff from the Daytona International Speedway that they acquired and put to use there. And I tell you what, I didn't get to go because that was the same night as the luau. Their grand opening was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, but it got pushed back to this last Saturday, and I of course couldn't make it. But from what I heard, I mean, tickets were $5 a ticket. Beers I heard were $2 and a quarter, and I heard they just packed it in there. I mean, they ran out of standing room. They ended up giving away tickets for $5 to go in the pits because they just didn't have any room in the stands, no room for people to stand in. So they just started sending people into the pit area and just packed it in like no other. You know, and the track had been closed down since last fall, and so I think a lot of people were anxious to see it reopen. And I mean, they brought the class, I believe it was a sportsman class, had over 41 cars, and it's a 3/8-mile track. So I was really glad to see the local track here really, really bring in the people and the cars and the crowds and everything. You know, I wouldn't say local racing is dead yet, but we'll see how they do over the next couple of months and bringing in the crowds and stuff. But from what I heard, it was insane over there. Really wanted to be there.
It's always a good thing, isn't it, Mark, when you hear of a local track opening back up?
Oh, I've heard of Citrus County, even all the way up here in the Chicago area. They've put on some good races through the years, and I guess it's a great super late model track, and I hope they keep pulling the crowds. You're not going to get crowds like that every night, but if you get a decent crowd every night and a good car count, you'll be successful in that area, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they had open wheel modified, they had the late models, and it seemed like a lot of guys were traveling far and wide. You know, they really put the word out. Apparently the payouts were really good. So I really hope that, over the next few months that it continues, that it's not just a one-night thing. I feel like it's going to be a hot spot there, but hell, I'd say they need to put in more stands if it's going to stay up like that, bringing in crowds. It was really neat. There's actually a guy who raced ARCA. His name is Cody. He did some ARCA, I believe, last year, and he was actually at the track, and we got to talking with him on Friday night because I got to actually go up there Friday night and watch practice, and he's trying to make his way into the truck series for Bristol, but he did he's a young guy. I think he said he's 20 years old. For the life of me, I cannot remember his last name, but he said he did some ARCA events last year, or he at least started all of them last year, and he's trying to get into the truck series. He actually had the actual truck with him there at Citrus County, which was kind of funny how that happened. We're just walking around, and my buddy says, "Hey, that says Camping World on a windshield." And we're like, "No kidding." So it's a new and upcoming teen out of Port Richey, Florida. He's trying to get his way into Bristol and see what he can do from there and move on up the ladder. I guess he's just still kind of looking for sponsorship and stuff, but I hope that works out well for him. It's a local boy for me to root for up there at Bristol here in a few weeks, so hopefully that works out for him. I just cannot remember his last name.
How far is that track from your home, Nick?
That track's maybe 10 minutes. So,
man,
I've been there a number of times in the past, and I've seen it over the years how the, you know, not as many cars have showed up. The crowds haven't been there. Like I said, it was kind of on the ownership of it, but somebody else sold their business and decided they wanted to go in all in on this track and redo it, and they did it. They've been working on it for the last few months and really, really put the time and effort into it. You know, from what I heard, the racing surface was great. Some of the best racing they've seen there in a long time happened Saturday night. It was competitive. I saw practice. Looks like it was a little bit of a handful for some of the drivers. I saw them really wheeling it, saw the brake rotors lighting up like no other, but from what I heard, it was some really good racing. So,
well, a $5
really
seat and a $2.50 beer, that goes a long way for the $5 seat and a $2.50 beer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from what I remember, it used to be about $13 to get in there, and I forget how much they charge for beer, but, new ownership. They even got a monster truck they go out there. Apparently, they were jumping a camper or running through a camper there Saturday night. So they do all kinds of fun stuff. I think they're only going to be racing every 2 weeks, but I believe this weekend they'll be having a Jeep convention thing going on out there. So looking to see who all comes through there. I know Johanna Long, she was out there a year or two ago. I know Mark Martin's son was out there a few years ago. So there's been some big names come through there and run the asphalt. So we'll see. I know they got a pro truck series coming through in 2 weeks. So I can't wait to see who all comes through there.
Well, Mark's headed up to Wisconsin to watch, and I don't know how you come up with the Dixieland 250, Mark.
Rowdy, it's a race that's been going on about 25 years now, and it was started to get the southern drivers and the northern drivers a chance to race together, and they just started calling it the Dixieland 250, and it stuck.
Well, if it's bringing in the people, and it's been so successful so far, so it's working.
It had a little hiatus for a couple of years, but the Midwest Tour brought it back to its heyday, and last year's show couldn't have been better. The winner took the checkered flags, went into turn one, hit the brakes, and they were gone, and he ended up in the soft wall. And they brought the car to checkered flags and the victory lane on a tow truck.
Well, guys, here's a question I'd like to ask, and it's kind of getting off of our ARCA subject, but I don't know who won the race today at Pocono.
It was Chris Buescher.
So they did give it to – that's right.
Yep.
Chris had a great, great year, several years in ARCA, an ARCA graduate.
Yep.
Yes, he is. They gave it to him. They couldn't get it back together, and it was a very deserving win. Congratulations, Chris Buescher.
You know, he was racing with the Rollo brothers when he was with ARCA. And,
yep.
Reed, I met a wonderful friend that still kind of expected Reed to call in tonight, but he had just got out. Actually, he called me today out of the blue, and I thought he was calling to congratulate me and about Chris winning and all, and I said, Reed, congratulations. He's like, for what? I said, I think Chris Buescher's won the race. He says, Rowdy, I've been in meetings all day. You're kidding me. I said, no. The last I heard, there was, what, 25 laps to go, guys? And the fire goes in?
Yeah, it was about, I think by the time it was said and done, it was 22 laps left after they stopped them.
Yeah, Nick, you're right. That was it. It was 22 laps, and they finally called it.
Well,
it was a while. it was a pretty crazy race. I mean, you think about the rookie field in the Cup Series. You got Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney, and then you have the other rookie that not too many people talk about, Chris Buescher. And he goes and gets the win before Ryan Blaney or Chase Elliott could. So he's already got his name in a hat for Rookie of the Year, which is pretty amazing. I think a lot of people like to see somebody like him win a race like that. You know, there's some people how they didn't think, that's not a real win. A win's a win is a win, however you get it. Any one of those drivers would take that win. So I'm real happy to see he got a win. And, yeah, somebody who's been through the ARCA series.
He was fast in the ARCA series. It's good to see somebody young. You know, it's glad to see somebody besides the A-team winning every week.
Yeah, everybody likes an underdog. So that was pretty neat. He just got lucky. And that win didn't come easy to him either. He had trouble earlier on in the race. Just the pitch strategy worked out in his favor, and it was just the right time. It was his time to win.
I tell you, I find it amazing how they fan out at Pocono when they throw the green flag on the restarts. It's just 6 and 7 wide.
There's no track wider in NASCAR or anywhere, I think, that you can go that wide like that. It's incredible to watch it.
I didn't get to see the ARCA race. Were they doing the same thing during the ARCA race like that on the restarts?
Oh, yes.
Actually, Will Kendall kept going high. Will kept going up high and was advancing his position while everybody else was fanning out down low. He fanned up. He went up on the high side and was gaining positions.
He starts than Will did on Friday in the ARCA race. Even over the rest of the weekend, nobody got better starts than he did.
Yep. Well, guys, we're getting down close to the end of this little show here. Nick, I appreciate you calling back in. It's always good to hear from you. You know, I kind of thought Todd, because, you know, we got Watkins Glen coming up this weekend, which is a short turnaround for NASCAR.
Yeah. That should be a good race also, at least for the Cup Series, and then ARCA at Berlin this weekend.
And Mark's going to be at Berlin, so we're going to have to stay at home. It's televised on American Sports Network, Nick.
Yeah, I'm going to look into trying to get that so I can keep up with it more. Wife don't let me sit around too much and the way it is, so... I'll try and keep up with ARCA and try and watch more of their races.
Well, Nick, and Mark can tell you, he testified to it. They don't last long, do they, Mark? They get done quick.
It'll be a quick race. I know I'll be home early Saturday night. Unless they have a red, and even if they have a red flag, the race seems to go quick and go by before you know it.
Well, Mark, once again, my friend, I appreciate you calling. Looking forward to next Monday night. You'll have the story back from Berlin for us. Looking forward to that. Nick, always a pleasure for you to call, my friend. You're always welcome. Hate you broke down on the side of the road.
Don't get me figured out. I think I've got about another hour before they're here to fix this tire. So still got about an hour and a half back. So it'll be a late night.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Rowdy.
Thanks,
until Mark. Next week, friend, I'll talk to you in a bit. Bye-bye.
All righty.
See you,
Good
Rowdy.
Night. I'll see you later. All right, folks. Let's bring Patchy Groundfog in here and let him do the weather for us.
From Panama City Beach. Florida. The weather down here is great. It's overcast. It's going to be overcast for a day or two, but there's going to be some beautiful, beautiful sunshine coming this weekend. You ought to come down here and see us. It's going to be beautiful. How come Rowdy Maglite didn't tell him about all about the Rowdy Maglite backpack origin that they wanted to? Let me tell you what you do. If you want to contribute or to send a backpack, you got to send a backpack for a little child to go back to school. All you got to do is just send a backpack. It will be at 182 Carbon Hill, Alabama, 35541. That's all you got to do. Help a little child out that doesn't have enough to do. But the weather in Panama City Beach is gorgeous. Help a child out. They're going back to school. Send a backpack to the Rowdy Maglite Racing. Post Office Box 182, Carbon Hill, Alabama. That's all you gotta do. And remember, friends, if you don't like your weather, move. That's all the Rowdy Maglite's gotta say.
Appreciate it, my friend, and keep an eye on that lucky nickel.
There you go. I got the lucky nickel right here.
Hey, appreciate it, Patchy. Till next Monday night, my friend.
All right, partner. Call me back when
we'll
the show is done. Bye-bye.
I'll do it, my friend. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. That's the end of this great weekend of racing. Looking forward till next Monday night when we bring it all back and rewind it back one more time. Everybody headed to Arkansas to the race. Have a safe trip. And I'm Rowdy, and I'm out of here till next Monday night. Appreciate it.